See me running.
All right, we will call to order the Property Management Committee meeting of OCWD. Can you please call roll?
Roll call, Director Sheldon, Director Meeks,
Here.
Director Jung. Director
Young's
Jung.
present.
Thank you. Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Green.
Here.
Director Nguyen. Director Amezcua.
Present.
Director Tran.
Present.
Director Wigand.
I'm here, but I'm calling as a member of the public.
Thank you. Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Thank you. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. Are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none, Director Meeks.
All right. Are there any visitor participation comments? I don't see anybody in there. Don't see anybody online. And we have three items on the consent calendar, items one through three. Does anybody want to pull anything?
I'll move it.
Second, Jung.
Okay. And can we have a vote on that, please?
Roll call, Director Meeks.
Yes.
Director Jung.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Mesqua.
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0.
Great, thank you. Now we have a couple of informational items. The first is the wireless program overview and potential reinitiation of services. So staff can present that.
Yes, Director Meeks. So the district currently has one active wireless communications facility located on Orange Olive Road and Riverdale Avenue in the city of Orange. This particular agreement is with T-Mobile Communications, formerly Royal Street Communications. The agreement was entered into in 2007 and has an expiration date in November of 2027, so it's next year. And so due to that reason, did some research and found that ATS Communications was a company that the district hired in 2006, a year prior, to not only handle this particular agreement, the negotiation and facilitating the agreement, but also market other district properties for potential wireless facilities. And so what we've done today is invite ATS Communications here, Mr. Tony Ingenieri, to give the committee a presentation just going over the current service model that they can provide and also provide a broad overview of the program needs of the district in regards to wireless facilities. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Ingenieri.
Directors, I'm Tony Ingenieri. I'm the owner and president of ATS Communications. I'm a former Garden Grove Planning Commissioner and City Councilman, and that's one of the reasons why I started this company. When I got my MBA at USC, I did a study on the wireless industry and found that for as many sites as there were, they need to grow exponentially, which is what's happened. And I realized that cities and government agencies wouldn't be prepared for what this onslaught was going to be. You have to go back to the 1990s to kind of remember what it was like back then. And nobody thought we were going to get hundreds and thousands of cell sites. Anyway, I started this company. When I initially started it, I had a business model that I was doing. And Orange County Water District was one of my first clients. And so it was to just come in and take a percentage of the lease. Now we've kind of changed our business model. We work for Santa Margarita Water District, Molten-Niguel Water District, El Toro Water District, South Coast Water District, Quartz Hill Water. I mean, we have probably about 30 clients, mostly water districts, but we do represent some cities and some school districts. And what we do is we only work for the municipal agencies. We don't do any work for the carriers whatsoever. So what we find is there's nobody out there that does what we do. There's a lot of people that help the carrier on their side, and they'll offer to help you too, but we only represent the municipal agencies on our side. And so what we do is, according to the 1996 Telecom Act, it recommends that government agencies use a consultant to help them deal with cell site issues. And we use that to to require the carriers to actually pay us for our services, because in your agreements it states that you won't have any out-of-pocket expenses for having the cell site on your property. You get the rent, plus they're going to help you pay for whatever costs it may take for you to work with what they're doing. And it's more than just an agreement. It's also the business that they run at the site. So like for Multnomah Water District, they have 40 cell sites on about 20 properties, and we manage that whole process. Specifically for what we're talking about here, we're not getting into all that. We are working on the renegotiation of the agreement with the district between T-Mobile and Southern California Edison is also a party to this agreement. So it gets to be complicated. We've worked on a ton of these deals. We're working on a similar one between T-Mobile and Southern California Edison with the Multnomah Water District. And we did a bunch of them with the City of Mission Viejo and Southern California Edison and various carriers. So we're very experienced as to work this out. And what it is as our relationship is dictated with the water district, we would go out there and require the carrier to pay us a site application fee, anywhere from $5,000 to $7,500. It's going to take a good year and a half at least to make the transition from the one agreement. And you're all looking like, oh, can't you just sign something? And you can't. So for the districts, to make sure that I make sure the district's rights are protected, I have to go out and look at the site and make sure that whatever was agreed to is still there, that there hasn't been any changes. I need to make sure that any rents that were due you were paid, which I'm sure that they were. And then we need to negotiate with between Southern California Edison and T-Mobile. And as much as I'd like to say it doesn't take very long at all, it takes a while. A year and a half is a pretty good. But I have deals that are still working after 3 years that, you know, they come back, and at the end of the day, they come back and they change things and they do stuff. Matter of fact, one of our clients was Yorba Linda Water District, and we had a deal with Verizon Wireless, and at the last minute, Verizon Wireless wanted to change stuff. And Doug Davert, who's former Tustin City Councilman, and now he's the assistant general manager over there, threw his arms up and said, no, we're not going to take this. And he just stopped all cell site issues on their property because he was so frustrated. He also is a board member for East Orange County Water District. And and I helped them settle a case with AT&T just about a couple months ago. So the cell carriers are, I think, they can be a little bit rough to deal with. And so it takes a while to renegotiate it. We're going to impart the language that we use for Multnomah and Santa Margarita and all the other water districts and cities, like paramount rights. We believe that in the event that it's needed, the district should have the ability to terminate the agreement and do whatever else they need to do at the site. So we add in language like that, which is a little bit sticky with the carriers. And so what we do is we make sure that we protect your rights, and we make sure that you get the best negotiation that we've negotiated with all the carriers previously going forward. So for this old agreement, we got a percentage of the deal that will end at the end of the term of this agreement, and the district will get 100% of it, and we get the site application, and that's it. From there, God willing, we will look at what other opportunities you may have. When we were working here before, there were about four or five sites that we were working on. I see that they weren't touched after we left, so I'd like to explore them and see if there's any opportunities that we can help the district with going forward. So one of the things that we do with all of our water agencies is we develop a policy and procedure as to how the carriers can operate on facilities, because we've had so many problems. We created this of probably about 12 years ago, and we have it with most, if not all, of our agencies. And it dictates not only just about how the agreement is, but how they can access it, what their hours are, but if they ch make changes to the property, how they can be, what process they have to go through. They can't just show up to the site and just start doing work. We don't, from what we have going on, we don't allow them to do that anymore, especially with Homeland Security issues that have come up now. We have a very strict policy on how they have to access the property. Each district is different. They all have a different protocol on how they access the property. But that's essentially what we do. Molten Niguel put it out to bid, Santa Margarita Water District, cities. Nobody does what we do. Sunnyvale was the latest one that put it out to bid just 3, 4 months ago. And we were the only entity that responded to it. So that's what we do, and I've been doing it since 2002, and we're still here. I can answer any questions you may have at this point. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Directors, questions? I have a couple of questions. So going back to staff, so you're looking at engaging or re-engaging this firm. We used to have an agreement with them. We don't have an agreement with them anymore. Is that what I'm
Yeah.
understanding?
Yes, Director Misa, I think I didn't explain that the existing agreement or agreement with ATS Communication expired years ago. So there is no existing agreement today. So with the renewal coming up for the T-Mobile site, thought it was a good opportunity for ATS to just provide an informational item here today to give the committee some new information on their scope of work. I know that we Tony and I have talked, and they've changed since when we first hired them back in 2006. So,
That was a long time ago.
yeah.
So the one that we have right now that the agreement is expiring, what type of facility is it? Is it a standalone cellular antenna large?
It's a T-Mobile wireless communication site on an Edison tower.
Yes.
Okay. So it's on an Edison tower. Okay, that I mean, and I will say, like the photo here where they try to mask it a little bit. That's good. Wish they would have covered up those ugly wires, but but it seems like that's the way cellular facilities are going, that local agencies, cities are requiring them to be camouflaged in some way. So anyways, I don't have an objection to them looking at extending the lease or looking at other opportunities for this, that there is a pretty good market to find sites that are unobtrusive to neighborhoods and can be reasonably screened and not be an eyesore moving forward. Does anybody else have any comments on it?
I agree.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that. Anything else, staff, that we need to know about this one?
I believe there is, unless Mr. Engineer has any comment. No. I see if I
Okay.
haven't seen you in a long time.
So you'll bring staff will bring back some sort of a proposal or something more detailed for us to review in the future.
Yes, we're all there to mix.
Okay, thank you. All right, and the other informational item.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. Status update on the planning of in-place remediation for the Prado lead remediation project. We have a report on that.
No, I'm just going to say Kevin O'Toole will flip it over.
Appreciate it. I'd like to provide an update on the status of this project. Made some meaningful updates on it since the last update we gave to this committee back in March. If the committee will recall, there are basically three major reports or documents that are in progress right now: the remedial action plan, the CEQA document, which will be a mitigated negative declaration, and the engineering design drawings. So I'll go through each of these individually because there's been some pretty big updates on all of them, and we'll talk about some of the next steps. So shortly after the last update, we submitted the revised remedial action plan, which incorporated DTSC's comments back to DTSC. That was in early April. We are still waiting on a formal response for them. We've had some communication, but it's a little challenging to figure out when this is actually going to get sent back to us. This is going to be DTSC's last kind of cut at it, so we anticipate if there are any kind of comments or anything of that nature, they're kind of going through this with a more of a fine-tooth comb. So again, just kind of waiting on that front. The CEQA document is done, and we're basically holding it on the side right now. And what we're going to end up doing at the request of DTSC is actually have the remedial action plan and the CEQA document go out to public comment together. Independently, DTSC will be the lead for the remedial action plan. OCWD will be the lead for the CEQA document. But putting that together allows the public to view these documents together. And then if there are any comments that would require changes to the remedial action plan, they can also be addressed in the CEQA document simultaneously before they're ultimately approved by both agencies. So that we anticipate that being later this summer. And then the last piece is the engineering design. We're getting very near the end. We anticipate those kind of 90% drawings to be submitted to us in July, and we'll put the final finishing touches on those once the remedial action plan and CEQA document are completed. Again, we anticipate this to be happening later this summer. The next update we'll likely bring to the board will be the certifying the CEQA document and the notice of invalid bids. So we're getting a little closer on that front, which is really exciting news. But again, mostly just waiting right now for DTSC's formal response. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. So any of the committee have any questions?
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
Question.
Please. Go ahead.
Does the remedial action plan provide mitigation for the project outlined in the MND?
Does the remedial action plan? The CEQA document has the mitigation.
So the remedial action plan is not mitigation for anything in the MND.
So the way this will ultimately work out is the CEQA document will become an appendix to the remedial action plan. So to kind of.
So is the remedial action plan legally tied to the MND?
I'm not sure if I have an answer for that, Director.
Because it might, because you said they're going to be independently released for public review. It seems to me that the. And I'm not the CEQA practitioner here. So the remedial action plan should be tied to the MND as a part of that CEQA process. Typically, if there's mitigation for an impact, it's not bifurcated or separated from the core of the project in CEQA.
That seems to make sense. I'm not the expert on that subject. I'd have to ping it back off of our CEQA staff here. That's a really good question. Thought. Yeah,
thank you.
Really good thought.
Chime in as well. So, I mean, generally, yes, any mitigation for CEQA purposes has to be in the MMD, even if they refer back to the RAP. But it sounds like these two, the reason that they're getting released separately at the same time is because there's a different approval body for each of them. And because we have the comment periods open at the same time, any comments that require changes to one document or the other can be implemented. So the CEQA document, by the end of it, will be able to stand on its own as CEQA requires, and the RAP will be able to stand on its own. But right now in the comment stage, they're linked, and any comments might result in changes to one or the other.
So what if the mitigating negative declaration is approved, but the remedial action plan is not? Is the MND still valid?
I think we'd have to look at the comments of the MND, but I think right now we're just at the comment stages, and the comments will close at the same time.
When the environmentalists file lawsuits, they call this piecemealing?
Okay.
I think you might need to put them together. Anyways, that's my thought, to put them together.
And I think
if they're connected, if their remedial action plan has nothing to do with CEQA, then you're great, in my opinion, in my layman's experience.
My understanding is they're two separate processes.
Right.
And the CEQA does have to be its own standalone document. But for CEQA purposes, the MND is intended to satisfy CEQA in its entirety without the RAP having to do, anything supplemental to it.
So what might happen is that the CEQA document goes to the lead agency, which is Orange County Water District, and they go together to the local, to lead agency, which is us, and then they go to the other agency, which is called it's a lesser agency title for that. I forget, not lead, it's
DTSC.
Well, that's the name of them, but there's a title at CEQA But it has to go to two governments.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so it goes to one government, and then we approve it, then it goes to the second government. They approve it, but the documents are tied together.
Yeah, it could happen, and that would be something that we'd address at that time. But at this stage, I think, you know, Jeremy has looked at this approach, and I think...
But that's all I was wondering. I didn't mean to...
No, you're good. You're good. It's important to look at.
Sure, just thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, no problem.
Complicate things like I do sometimes. Sorry.
Does anybody else have any questions or comments on this item? All right.
I was going to say that, you know, following up with Director Shelton's comments. So my understanding is correctly that at the end, the approved CEQA document would have a preferred alternative, right? And it would have to be the DTSC approved alternative, correct? Or remedial action plan.
MNDs, if I could go ahead. MNDs, okay, typically mitigating negative decks don't have the alternative analysis that an EIR has. So we wouldn't, but generally what you said is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Do you expect problems?
We don't expect problems, but anytime you go out to public comment, you never know. And this is a property that is close to some homes, so there is the potential for that. So we're doing our best to make sure that the public is well informed, and again, DTSC will be having a public meeting as well to help facilitate questions, education of it.
What's the total acreage?
So it's two properties. The first one, the Fonoka Target Range, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's in the neighborhood of 20 acres. And then the second property, the actual remediation, will be roughly an acre and a half.
When this gets out the neighborhood, you never know what'll turn up, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
So...
But we're not aware of any sort of concerns at this moment, but we're definitely, when it that close to neighborhoods, there's always a strong potential at something.
Are we doing a pretty good outreach to make sure they have this opportunity to comment? I mean, I don't want to hear from the neighborhood later. Like, well, we will, because that's just the way neighbors are. But, you know, nobody ever told me. So we're doing a pretty good outreach to give them the opportunity to comment now.
So we have not started that process yet. That is part of the public comment period, and it's part of our plan that goes along with that. So that, again, once we get the remedial action plan back from DTSC, our strategy is to engage with more of a public outreach program that would accompany the public comment period.
Okay, thank you.
So this is the should I kick the beehive situation, where it's sometimes better to do pre-public outreach, to where you go to them first and you tell them about what you're planning to do. And then when they get the postcard notice, they're not alarmed and they don't claim you're trying to hide it from them, versus maybe everyone's on vacation and they don't get the, they don't read the postcard notice. So that's the catch 22, but there is wisdom, as Director Meeks was saying, in doing pre outreach before the official public outreach is a thought. Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else on that one?
That's all I have.
Okay. Do we have, let's see, the items, the consent calendar items 1 through 3, we will put on the full board meeting for July 1. And then do we have any directors' comments or reports? And sorry, Director Sheldon, I didn't see you come in. You could have taken over, but
you're doing a fabulous job. Please
continue. I'll go ahead and finish out since we're almost done.
Please continue, fabulous.
Do we have a general manager's comments or reports?
No comments.
All right. Then we are adjourned, and everybody have a great weekend.
Thank you.